Oh, no. All right. Welcome, everyone, again. And we will start. Okay. Monday, January 11th, 2021. Time is 5:27. And we are meeting at the Payne Chester Community Room, 11 Riverside Street, Portland, Connecticut. Number one, call to order. Chair Wadding present.
Matthew Pagalo, Commissioner President.
Debbie Hallett, Commissioner President.
Vice Chair Malecki present.
Yes, I'm
Finance
Commissioner.
Alan Harrison, Deputy Director present.
Jan Rathmore present.
Carol Diaz present.
Sue Nellis present. Sir.
John Twitchell Maintenance present.
DJ Caracchia present.
Thank you all. Number three.
Two.
Oh, I'm sorry. Number two, acceptance of the agenda.
Motion that the agenda be accepted.
Okay, now number three. Fiscal year ending March 2020 audit presentation prepared and presented by Jason Giel.
Oh, righty.
Welcome, Jason.
Yay. All right. How are y'all doing?
Good.
Good. Nice to see you.
Thanks, you too. All right, so we got a rather voluminous little pack of papers here. So I'll kind of jump around a little, but hopefully highlight some key points for you all. But what I wanted to start is just from the top down. If we go all the way to the back of the report, which is the required schedule, I'll go to the very last page. It's basically called the summary of, well, schedule findings and question cost, but it's a summary of audit results. But basically it is articulating, I guess, the main results of our audit. And again, the annual audit, as required, has to look at both the financial statements and then compliance with federal and state programs. In your case, you have both a state single audit, it's called, and a federal single audit. The reason you have a state is you had the Quarry Heights development still during this year. We were required to audit that on its own. And if you look in the center of the page there, it's showing that you had an unmodified opinion, meaning that you complied with all requirements of the program, materially complied, and you had a bunch of no's. No's meaning we did not find any issues. So that covers your state financial assistance, which in this case is just the Quarry Heights redevelopment. If we go up top, the first section again is our financial statement audit. It's us auditing your controls over how you maintain your books and records and pay bills, etc. Again, unmodified opinion there. Highest level assurance, meaning there's really no qualifications, nothing we have to step aside from and say you did not do. If you go down that column, they all say no's or none reported. Again, saying that we did not find any audit findings. So a clean audit. Basically that you're complying with not only the state and federal, I'm kind of backtracking to 35 if you wanted to see it, but there's another reiteration of that schedule we are looking at, and it's the federal version. The federal version, we do the same thing, a bunch of notes as well, I'm not typing. So not only do we look at the your financial statements and then the Quarry Heights redevelopment, but we looked at this year, the voucher program, to make sure you're materially complying with the program regs. And again, for voucher as well, found no instances of non-compliance that we have to report. So that's kind of the overview. So no issues here. But if we want to start to kind of get in and understanding the numbers, I was going to walk you a little bit through how your financial results look and hopefully explain kind of how that relates to you as an agency. We're going to go to page 6. That is your income statement, or in this case, it's called the Statement of Revenues, Expenses, and Changes in Net Positions. It is a summary of all the funds you take in, that's operating grants and tenant rents, and what you spend out. So if you look at a couple lines here, you're going to see pretty small numbers, meaning you're kind of spending almost exactly what you take in, which is showing, you know, self-sufficiency, being able to operate within your means. We got a couple things there. In the center of the page is where I want to typically concentrate on. It's showing an operating income loss of $1,399. I did want to point out in that number, two numbers up, is about $56,000 in depreciation expense. Again, that's a, you know, an estimate of how your wear and tear on your buildings. So it's not really a cash out type thing. So if we kind of try to quickly convert this to money in, money out, it's showing about a net profit of about $55,000. So you've taken in $55,000 more than you've expended, showing that, again, you're being able to operate within your means. What are some of the kind of nuances here? A couple things, if you go up and you look at your revenues for the year, this is including, so you made $55,000 for the year, meaning you spent less. That also includes the HUD requiring you to pay down or use up your Housing Choice Voucher Program funds from prior years. So basically, what we'd said in the past is the voucher program, they estimate what you need, they give you a set amount of money, and if you don't spend it, you gotta set it aside. And you can only spend it on what you, for landlords, basically. Last year you had a little bit of excess funds. We said, well, you gotta manage that. If you don't spend them, they start taking funds away from you. Well, lo and behold, you spent them all this year. It's a great thing. But the use of that has, a negative effect on your operations. But point being here is you have other resources to the agency that you didn't even draw down on this year. So not only did you operate at a surplus, but you have an additional $120,000 that you get every year in capital funds that you didn't use. You didn't draw, you didn't need them. Although you're eligible to take them and use them for operations, you were able to maintain a surplus without that, which is great. So not only can you just rely on rents, which is not the case on every agency, you are not required to utilize those funds in order to pay bills, which again shows a very good, you know, structure and or cost control over maintaining your programs. But if you looked at that last year, you needed $200,000, or you drew down $200,000 in those capital funds. This year, zero. So, you know, you had a larger surplus last year because you took some more funds, and this year didn't need it. I'm getting a little bit into that, more into that than I guess we really need to. But bottom line is, operating at a surplus. This is the third year in a row that you're operating at a sizable surplus. So it's showing a good trend. Go a page back, page 5. We were talking about a year snapshot. Page 5 is your statement of net position. That is a balance sheet. That is basically where you stand since inception, since you were created. If we go to the second number from the bottom, it's showing $830,000 balance. That's basically an accumulation of all your surpluses since you've existed. In essence, so $830,000, that is if you paid off all your bills, you didn't collect another dollar, you'd have an excess of $830,000. What does that number mean? As it relates to the size of your organization, you can go basically a whole year without collecting a dollar. So you have 12 months worth of reserves, which is extremely healthy. The goal typically is 6 months. So if you have 6 months, that for your case is about $450,000. That's considered extremely healthy. You're double that. If you'd ever want to look at anything negatively as a risk approach, is they'd probably say you're under leveraged. You're not investing enough into your buildings It's the only downside to saying that, you know, you're holding too much money, so to speak. But again, so as a board, then how do you evaluate that is, how do your properties look? Do they meet capital needs? So, you know, there are kind of ways to, if you know as a board that your properties are, you know, healthy, you're able to maintain occupancy, then, okay, you should be comfortable with the fact that, hey, it's a good thing you have additional reserves. I always bring in that negative risk thing there because if you end up being too good, you lose opportunities for grants, et cetera, like that, because they give it to the most needy, so to speak. You kind of get penalized for being too financially stable. But otherwise, especially in the last 3 years, it seems that you've had a very solid trend of, you know, continuing to build off of the past, so to speak. A couple little nuances from there. We talked about a couple years ago. This includes in the center, bottom center, non-current liabilities. There's the net pension liability there. This is the state's, estimate of what you would owe the pension. It's at $280,000. So not only do you have $830,000, that's assuming you're going to pay them $280,000 to settle your pension, which you never would. That's just an estimate of kind of what they think the pension sits at relative to what you paid in. The reason I bring that up is while this is trending down for you, which is a great thing, across the state the pension's kind of has been negative the last 3 or 4 years. So what you've seen, and you've probably seen it already this year, is your pension rates go up. So as a trend, and that's why real quick, we won't look at too many numbers here. I don't want to bore you all. On page 17 and really 18 is we look at that as, well, I told you it's $280,000. That's your exposure, so to speak. But what does that really mean? You pay in, you're up to, I'm on page 18 now at the top there, $27,000 a year in pension benefits to your employees. If you look at that from the trend, you go all the way back to 2015, which was when we first put this on, and you were paying $24,000. So 6 years down the road, and you're still paying roughly the same amount, after all this talk of, ooh, there's this big liability and there's risk. Well, to you as a board, this has been very stable. So I would, you know, I don't particularly think that to be a risk. We do see it's going up recently, but it's not enough to, I guess, you know, ruin your budget, so to speak. But it's a big number on your books, so I did want to, you know, at least explain that it's there. So a couple non-financial things. I just wanted to, that was it for the financials. I mean, very healthy. I don't think there's anything negative that would be disclosed or you should be concerned about as a board. Two other points to kind of add on to that is I would hope this isn't a surprise because part of what we do is we evaluate what your internal records are, and if they are much different from what we're presenting here, then we would, you know, we were required to report that to the board. And I can, you know, happily say that, you know, what is done internally is roughly materially what you see here. So that shows strong controls and understanding by accounting and consultants as far as how you're supposed to report your numbers and hopefully what you're getting as, you know, as a board, roughly. There's that part. And then program compliance, there's been a lot of changes. Obviously now we have COVID changes. I know you guys are already probably been talking about RAD and things like that. But as far as taking advantage and or making improvements every year, we've offered you know, little recommendations every year. You guys, the staff has always been very upfront and fortunate and think the word, but willing to kind of implement these kind of things. Things like VMS and things like that for the HCV program, and happy to report they've kind of put all those recommendations in. So each year you've shown that you always want to try to get better. You know, the rules change a lot. There's only so much you can do with the resources that you have, considering the funds they give you. But you seem to do it. I think the agency should be proud of itself, because it's not necessarily the norm. And it's tough to run a small housing authority with, the limited resources you get and resources you have. But other than that, I mean, again, very positive results, and hopefully there shouldn't be any surprises there. Certainly, if you have any questions as far as, what we look at, what we found, et cetera, that's why I'm here.
I have a question.
Yes.
I think it will be my question every time I see it. Sue, you probably already know what it is, just because of the just horrifying experience that we went through together. Do you know what that question's going to be?
I'm not sure, but I probably can guess, but go ahead.
Can you guess? The pilot.
Yes.
Yeah, so I can't remember what page I saw it, and I think some of you were on the board when we had that pilot catastrophe, so... I'm assuming, because you didn't even mention it,
yep,
that we are paying the town the proper,
yes,
amount of money.
Yes,
this year we got it.
I had to ask. It's like my duty to ask for the housing authority that we are.
Yeah, when Dan received the bill a few months ago, first thing he did, he let me know, and then we reached out to Jason.
Right. And
so before we did anything.
We didn't have to change anything.
Yeah, yeah.
So.
Because it looked like a low number, too.
Well, yeah, there's.
Where was that? What page was that on? I thought I saw 38,000. I can't remember now. It was in the beginning of your speech. Yeah. But. That is my only question, the pilot.
Yeah, that is. I mean, it changes every year based on rent and utilities.
Yeah, where was it? It was in the beginning of your pages.
Well, the 38,210. Yeah, it's on page 5.
Okay, page 5. Okay.
In the center of, almost the exact center of the page.
It was at 38,000?
38,210.
Yeah, and so our calculation's right? And
yes.
And
you're
the town
still,
is happy?
You're adhering to what we all agreed on. Right, which was what was fair for the town.
Yeah.
Actually, that's a little higher.
Yeah.
Than
it's been. Now that should be good for both the town and your agency. It's only higher because you continue to keep your rents high. Actually, utilities are down about 10% this year. So that's a good.
Yeah.
You're paying less out.
Oh, so the town's happy.
Yeah. So
they're getting more.
Because that means success.
Okay. Right?
If they continue to go up, that means you're maximizing revenues. You have very low vacancies, right?
Okay.
And then the rents that you are getting paid, and they're not, and you're not having to pay it on utilities. So that means utility costs are staying as flat as you can expect.
Thank you.
Yeah, no problem.
Every year I see you, I'm going to ask you that same question.
Well, hopefully we just don't want them to, whoever's at the town, to leave and forget what the agreement is.
Mm-hmm.
Right, because
we must have it in writing somewhere.
What's that?
We must have it in writing somewhere.
Oh, no, it is in writing. It is in writing.
I would hope so.
Fine writer.
Yeah. Anything else?
That's all for me.
All right, so, I mean, that's it on my side, unless.
No, thanks, Jason.
Absolutely.
Thank you, Jason.
Thank you very much. We think October we might see you again.
I'm hoping we can. Yeah, can we shave off a bunch of months?
Yeah.
Doing this in January,
it's almost
just feels
stinks. December stinks.
Yeah. So,
yeah.
I don't know.
I'll be giving you a hard time.
Hopefully,
but yeah, if we're on track. It'll be September, October, right? You
yes.
Here at the next meeting.
Yes.
Yeah, we're behind obviously because of COVID.
Yeah.
Yeah, COVID's kind of.
And then yeah, it's been
destroyed everything. But that's.
Yep. Thanks, Jason.
Okay.
Appreciate all your
thank
time.
You very much.
Yes.
Okay. So with that, that will bring us to number. I can't see number 4. Public participation. Well, welcome. Hi.
Good to see everybody.
Nice to see you.
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
I had 2 items that I wanted to see submit. The first is, although you've done an excellent job of alerting residents to the need for adhering to COVID restrictions, I was wondering if you'd consider sending out another memo, given the new strain of more infectious COVID, encouraging people to demonstrate, wear a mask. And the other thing is, I wanted to thank you for the opportunity to participate in the RAD program.
Thank you for being a willing participant.
Happy to. Thank you again.
Thanks, Cindy. Thank you. Thanks, Jason. Appreciate it. Take care, Jason.
Good night. Thank you for being on that board years ago. I sat on that board, I think, with you. You'll remember? We were on a resident advisory board with the Kids Carnival. We had, yes. No, years ago, Jasmine, when I lived here, we had a board. It's a good, yeah, it's good. Thank you for being on the board.
My pleasure, thank you.
Yeah. It's been a long time since we've had one. It's good. It's good for the Housing Authority to have one.
Great.
Yep. Anything else?
That's it.
Okay. Number five, approval of the special meeting minutes for board meeting held December 14th, 2020. Number six, review and take action of December 2020 financial reports prepared by Richard Fenton. Okay, so I'll get rid of this. Okay, we're good. Big numbers.
The operating receipts for dwelling rent charge. I noticed that number is pretty large. Is that just for the resorts for people on COVID unemployment, or?
I learned that from Maryland. You need to keep the number low.
The third page.
Third page, Dan. He's on down court. 3110.
Yeah, exactly.
A lot of that has to do with rent calculations if they're unemployed,
research where they lose their jobs and because of COVID.
Third page, okay.
Is that number higher than what it was last time?
I think it's in the ballpark, but it may be slightly
higher. Got it. Got it.
Something like that, 15,000.
Okay. Yep, of course. Thank you.
I think that was the only really thing that kind of stuck out to me. all set.
Okay. Any other questions? Anyone?
The Middletown plate glass purchase, the, like, what happened with that? Someone
broke the window.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so I have to.
Is there more to that story?
Well, supposedly it was a storm related issue.
Okay.
And so, you know, if I'm, you know, sometimes, you know, whether you're going to charge a tenant or not charge a tenant, if I'm going to charge a tenant, I've got to be sure.
Yeah.
I can't, you know, if they're telling me it was due to the storm, I have to leave.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Plus, we take into account the past history that obviously, if it was
right,
more than once, you broke a window, well, now you can't get a little more to do it.
Was there a storm? So I'm assuming there was a storm.
Yeah, well. Yeah. Well, yeah, we've had lots of them, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And so.
Okay.
You know. They tend to be expensive. You got to pull them, bring them down there. Measure it, bring it back, put it back in.
Yeah.
Glass comes in, and I gotta pull it again, bring it down there, install, bring it back. Did that, or you pay them to come out, and still, they still gotta order the glass, all that stuff. So it's expensive to be $200-$300.
Mm-hmm.
Double pane, E.
They are low E glazing?
Yep.
Oh, okay. That was it.
Shall we approve the bills as paid?
Matter of fact, I will make a motion to approve the financial report prepared by Richard Benton as paid.
Second.
Okay, number seven, communications and correspondence. No communications. Okay. Number eight, executive director's report. Okay.
Sue, did you want to go first?
Okay.
As of December 31st at Chatham Court, there was a balance of $564. Move outs stayed the same, $3,681.69, which we'll be looking at in March to see if we can write some of those off, the ones that are not more than or not less than a year old, we can't write off. Quarry Heights had a $374 balance at the end of December. No move out balance due. Housing choice voucher, we're still at 87 leased units. We had 64 regular vouchers leased, 17 project-based that are at Quarry Heights. And we had 6 poured out vouchers. Right now we don't have any vouchers out there because right now we're over our limit. So right now we're not issuing any vouchers. HUD has recommended that we try and just let that number fall back to 86. And if it gets lower, then we issue more vouchers. Because what they do is they take an average over the 12 months, depending on how many you have leased. So we're fine being at 87. Any questions?
What is ported out? What does that mean?
That means that those families got a voucher from our office, yep, and they decided that they didn't want to live in Portland or Cromwell. So one of them moved to New Britain, and when they got to New Britain Housing Authority has the option of either taking that family under their program or billing us for it. So therefore that family then became a ported out family as far as we're concerned. So we do have 6 families that are in other areas, but we're paying the housing authority to do the work.
For my side of the office, there wasn't really anything crazy going on. There was only one move out. The numbers on the waiting list haven't changed since we've had, you know, not many move outs. Any questions, concern?
Is someone moving in today? Or the move out, is someone moving in to that unit?
No, so they're moving out on the 15th, the 19th.
Okay.
So then we'll have the rest of them 2 weeks, and then you'll see the move in next month, probably on the 1st.
Okay, perfect.
Yeah, Carol's already talked to the next tenant. She's already got that schedule going, so.
Cool. Yeah, and your schedule, ready to go.
Okay.
So I need the keys.
Yeah. You were able to serve a notice to quit, but not, were under no evictions because of COVID, correct?
Well, this one wasn't due to non-payment. This one was for,
like violations of the lease.
Correct.
Criminal. But we're still under no evictions because of COVID?
Correct. For non-payment or rent only.
For non-payment or rent only, if it's criminal or something else.
Interesting. I didn't know that. So basically, they're getting the paperwork going.
Uh-huh.
They're not going to court yet.
Right. Okay.
For evictions, you can't even think of like going through the paperwork yet.
That's why when I saw the notice to quit, I didn't even know you could do that. Yes. Oh, you can. Okay. But not for non-payment of rent. Okay. All right.
Good observation, Don.
You know what?
It's criminal. If it's something criminal, it doesn't pose a safety problem for anybody.
That's the reason why we decided to go forward.
Yeah. So they're gone?
No.
We're trying.
Could be months.
It
might be a year.
Yeah.
John,
want to
touch on maintenance a little bit?
Oh, maintenance, yeah, it's business as usual. You know, we had the one storm. Turnovers are moving along. All my inspections are up to date. Work orders are, I don't have any right now. The last two today I finished up. Tomorrow's another day, because they come in daily.
I don't know about the preventive maintenance for React, John, and what you're doing for the basement.
Oh yeah, so, you know, so next year, and so this is good, actually good to bring up now, because we're going to be doing some stuff. So next year we're going to be due for our React on this property. And so, you know, we're trying to do things as we go along. I mean, there's certain things you're going to do right before, because the new React, before they would give you months, now I think it's 14 days is all you get, and they show up. So the, you know, we're as we go along, we're trying to maintain a certain, you know, level of property maintenance, you know, the smaller things. So you know, I'm doing little things like in the basement and stuff like that. You can't do, you know, as we all know, you know, house, right? So, you know, how many little things you got in your house, the knob that fell off, the, you know what I'm saying, that aren't the priority, but yet when React shows up, that knob better be on.
Could you tell me who those people are?
Excuse me?
Who is React?
That's us.
That's us. That's it's actually called Enspire now.
Yeah.
And what it is, they come out, if you get a high performer score, they come out every, they won't come out for 3 years. So we're due this, you know, this year or next year. And what it is before they would call you up, and they used to sub out a lot of that stuff. So the person doing the inspection would call you up, say, hey, I'm so-and-so, I'm scheduled, you know, I've been hired by HUD to inspect your property, blah, blah, blah. But you'd be able to schedule a date with this person far enough ahead, a month or two, so, okay, now you got time to do all that. They took all that away. Now, like John said, you got 14 days. So when they call you, you got 14 days to do it.
So you got to keep your property.
So this is, which is exactly, you know, and to be honest with you, that's how it should be.
Absolutely.
You know, you shouldn't be walking by basement, you know, in the boiler, the main thing they hit you on is boiler rooms, basements, common areas, things like that. Inside the unit, the apartments, you don't get hit a lot for points because they know a lot of that you can't control. If the tenant ripped down the smoke detector that day or punched a hole in the door, somebody you can't control. So you get less points dinged for that, much more for areas where they use plumbing control. So I remember years ago, we had an actual rehab inspector came out for East Hartford. So after a while, he told me, I'm gonna give you some advice. He goes, the first thing is, you focus too much in the units. He says, you gotta focus in boiler rooms, common areas. That's where you get your high level threes and you lose quite a bit of points. So I learned a good lesson there. So yeah, so that's why I've been talking to John about, hey, listen, the weather's been good, there's no snow, you know, he's caught up like he said, so there's no reason we should be in these basements and boiler rooms. So I kind of did a walk with John, before Christmas, just to kind of say, hey, John, let's start here, let's start working on these things so that, because you have to be ahead, because you're not going to, if you think they're going to call you up in 14 days, you're going to be done with everything, it's never going to happen.
Yeah, and so they switch the way that they do
change a lot.
The inspections, yes. And their standards, right? So, you know, one time, as long as a patch was patched, it was fine.
Right.
Then at one time, if it was painted, then that was fine. Now, that paint has to match. Before, where it didn't make a difference as long as, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And so even mold, and then it was really high mold. Now it's a certain area. So it's constantly changing.
Right.
And so the Inspire stuff happened about what, a year ago, a year and a half ago, which they told them what was coming. And then, so they were having different things go on and input from different housings. Then COVID hit this year.
Right.
A lot of this stuff has been,
right.
And I've actually done the training, I want to say last year I went to a training in Providence on the new scoring, you know. So I think we're due, I think our third, and typically it was in August. And so this will be the third summer, or 3 years, because, you know, we scored enough to go every year. Score bad, so every year. So as your score goes, it's 1 year, 2 year, 3 year. So we're on a 3 year cycle right now, and we want to maintain that.
And as you can well imagine, they make it harder. You know, when I first started doing these, the inspector would even let you, like, let's say the faceplate was cracked, broken. Believe it or not, that's a level 3. So it's a big hit. They would let you just swap it right out, and they'd go on.
Yeah.
Now, it's basically how it is it's a, they call, as soon as they walk in, that it's a snapshot and that's it. So you're not, they don't let you correct anything, and well, let's face it, the more high performers they are, the more money HUD's got to give you, because you get better funding if you're a high performer. So long story short, they make it to the point now where you score in the 80s, you've done well. The 95s and 96s are gone. Those are gone.
So what HUD found was that,
unfortunately,
a lot of these subs or so forth were, you know, kind of mailing it in after a while.
They were doing the same property. They got paid the contract, but how fast they did the
inspection. They fired, I want to say, a whole bunch of people,
right.
And they put it out to bid
right.
to certain companies now where not, you know, different people all over the place.
Right.
And
they're on tablets, so they know exactly how long they're in each unit.
Yeah.
So, it's, yeah.
And so this is all new HUD policy about it over here.
Yeah. And to add to your point on the units, I when I was living here, I got that for real. I was happy. Come on in. I was proud of my unit. I am OCD. I'm like, come on in. I'm going to get an A for county authority. Oh my God, I had a GFI that didn't work.
And it went like that night,
it didn't work. Do you know how bad a GFI, a non-working GFI was? And it worked like the night before. And I was like, I felt so bad for the housing authority because I kept my apartment, like this community center. I felt like a baggo.
They know what to look for.
But yeah, they went for that GFI and they're like, if this doesn't work. I mean, they didn't yell at me because I'm a tenant, but.
Typically your biggest point felt
really bad.
On property issues. You know, drainage, washout, you know, stuff like that. So you gotta make
I'll
sure
I'll never forget that GFI.
Your common area, you know, and stuff like that. And then there's actually an equation because we're smaller, it's multiplied, and then you can only it's very complicated. You can only lose so many points to per building, and then depending, you know, we got a guy last, and then you can, you know, object to it too.
Oh, yeah, you can.
Because last time the guy was counting, like, the fencing that goes around the property should be counted as by itself, but the guy counted for every building that was fencing for the building, and that's, it shouldn't have been like that. So, I mean, we still got in the 80s, I want to think, right? You know, we were 79 point something.
Yeah.
Okay, I lost track where we are here.
Number nine.
We're on eight, okay.
Old and new.
Okay, so we're all set with that, with number eight. Okay, number nine, old and new business.
Basically, I was just going to touch on, Dan and I begun last month. We're working on the budget, so we will have the budget for next month's board meeting. And as soon as Dan and I have drafts, I would have John, you know, deliver those right away, not wait for the, you know, the normal board packet. So as soon as we have them, we'll get them out, you know, to the board. And we did, we are making some adjustments. I know I'm, because CHFA has their own code for the budget, and on PHA Web, we've still been using the HUD code. So I told Dan I want to clean that up, so this way, at least when I'm looking at the statement, I'm comparing state to state. Plus, it makes it easier for him when he inputs it, you know, into PHA Web, because that's where Rick's pulling all his monthly financials off of what our input is on the PHA Web. So Dan began working on that. Also, Jason had asked us to change how we do some of the allocations, so we're working on that also. So we got a couple changes going on to the budget before we
just get it.
Right, get it.
Usually the fee account takes the lead on this, but you know, we're trying to pull it back and give it to him to review.
Right. I mean,
and get it organized, yeah.
Yep. So that, we're working on that. And then I just did mention the RAD, like Cindy mentioned, we did form the RAD advisory board. We had our first meeting last Wednesday, the 6th. So we have the members are, we have Cindy Ferraro, we have Jasmine, we got Barry Rogers here, and we got Marlene, who lives here. So we have someone from, you know, Section 8 tenant, because it was recommended by HUD that you have somebody also that's on our Section 8 program. And I figured Cindy's very, you know, she's one somebody that's always involved, and so I figured she'd be very good to be on the board, Jasmine. So we had a really good meeting. They were very, BJ was also involved with this. We had a real good first meeting, just to kind of, I kind of explained to them what exactly that it means, you know, what their roles would be. I did, like, I put in the packet, I kind of passed them out, you know, off of the HUD site, kind of explaining the different duties and responsibilities of the RAD. We scheduled the meeting, so they have to schedule the calendar for the whole year for our, you know, our RAD meeting. BJ does minutes, we will pass those out to the RAD members. So that one. That went pretty good. Like I said, when I was going over the annual plan with John, and I saw him here, he put, you know, we have a RAD board that we need. I'm like, John, we don't, there's no RAD board. So he said, well, you better get one. So, so that's pretty good. Mm-hmm. Like that. Those are the two, yeah, like I said, the audit got done. That was, you know, we could get that done also.
Can I just add
something? No.
Well, this is kind of what we were talking about before the REACT and actually with Jason and stuff. So the need assessment coming up is actually important for us because it's going to tell us stuff we're going to need to do, which ties into with Jason and the money and where we should put money. And obviously, Corey Hikes is, you know, they just got a couple mil. So if anything, this property is where we need to focus on that as far as improving, you know. All right.
So does the RAB, would the RAB be now a new line item on the agenda where every meeting they report to us?
No, they don't come to board meetings or they don't come report to a board meeting. Okay. Those are separate meetings. I mean, definitely we can include the minutes from those meetings.
That would be nice.
That's good, sure.
So RAB would report to you, and then you just give us an update on that, or
exactly. Okay. Yeah, we meet with
I should say BJ and myself will be meeting
through
RAP board. Then we'll, like I said, BJ's done the minutes, and we're going to pass them out to the residents on the board, and I'll put them in your packet.
Great.
Yep. And I'll get you a schedule, our schedule. So like I said, we already passed out the schedule ahead of time, so that's what everybody kind of knows, so they can plan that. So yeah, I'll get the schedule out to you in minutes. And now, again, by all means, if somebody wants to, if someone from the board wants to come, by all means, absolutely. You know what I'm saying? It's not like you can't, you know what I mean, Matt, you can come. They're basically at noon, right, BJ, the meeting set up? They're noon.
Well, 11 o'clock, I think it was.
Was it 12?
12.
I'm pretty sure it said 12, yes.
Yeah, by all means, it's not like it's some closed, private.
So Jasmine, you're part of that, right?
Yeah.
So we have a member of the board there. I think we're good.
Okay. Yeah. And we do an agenda too. You know what I mean? They kind of very similar to like what we do here.
Yeah.
Like we have a little agenda. I'll send you guys what we did from last week's meeting. You know what I mean? Just give you an idea.
Thank you.
Plus it has the participants' names and everything. So.
Cool.
Any other new business? Okay. All right. Anyone have new business? Anybody? Okay.
No.
Okay. Okay. We're gonna. Hey, what happened to number 10?
Am I missing something?
Help me out.
There's no 10.
Okay.
So I have no 13.
Okay. We're gonna go to 11. Executive session.
I missed that when I approved the agenda. Sorry.
I
God, you're paying attention. That's
this is the old one.
Executive session.
Yeah, everybody. Look here on the board around. Thank you all.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Good night, everybody.